Good news! Goodwill Columbus has opened a new store in Westerville. And with a new donation center, it's easier than ever to make a difference in your community. Bring your gently used clothing, furniture, electronics, and more to our donation drop-off. Each donation and purchase supports our mission to provide jobs, free job training, essential services, and more right here in Westerville. Drop your donations off at 60 East Schrock Road or learn more at goodwillcolumbus.org.
At Ross, you'll find everything your kids need when they go back to school. From fashion to school supplies to dorm room decor, Ross has it all. Because it isn't just the first day of school for them, it's a new year, a new look, and endless possibilities. When they walk back through those school doors, they're a different kid than the one who walked out months ago, ready for anything. Back to school starts at Ross. Find your nearest Ross at rossstores.com.
Hello, my spooky friends.
My name is Cassie.
And I'm Caitlin.
And welcome in to I'd Survive.
So, hey Cassie, what's up? How you doing?
Hey.
Period.
It's been a week. The podcast, it's been so fun to like see kind of our numbers stabilize, and we're seeing like a steady growth from here, and it's really exciting.
It's cool.
It's so cool. Like, people are staying consistent with like commenting on Spotify, so that's really fun. And I just am like drowning in all of the movies that I want to cover. It's too much. We're never going to get to it all, but I'm just so happy about this podcast and excited for it to be like a little escape for me every week.
Right? Yeah, no, it is nice. Like we're working, but we get to sit here and just chat about horror for, you know, a couple hours, and it's really nice.
Yeah. Yeah, sometimes you need it to escape the horrors of real life.
Girl.
Anyways. What am I doing?
You're going off script, Cassie. So what's your week in horror been? Am I like anything to update us on?
Okay, so I have been still playing. I played another Fears to Fathom episode.
Yes.
Episode 4. You're at a lookout in a state park. I'm terrified of state parks, so it was really fun.
Ooh.
I hear so many like spooky stories about what goes down in a state park, and that was probably my favorite game so far with that.
Really?
One absolutely, because I don't want to give it away if you want to play the game, but it's very culty and I love a cult. It's so spooky to me, and
fair.
It was a lot of fun. And then movie wise I finally watched Smile 2.
Oh my god, wait, did you do it for a video or did you just watch it on your own?
I just watched it.
Okay.
I watched it with my sister. We watched the first, I think I did a video for the first one, but I heard like a lot of mixed stuff about the second. So that's why it took me so long to actually get to it. And then by the time I obviously did, I'm like, well, whatever. What I did film a video on is 50 Shades of Grey, which could also be considered my week in horror.
Yeah, that's actually very valid.
But no, Smile 2, I actually did like the first one. The second, I don't know. For some reason, I don't love like a pop star storyline. Like pop stars on screen never feel real enough for me.
Authentic, yeah. Yeah. I think, you know, especially because I feel like we've had a bunch of those with Maxine, Smile 2, and then The Substance. Like we're getting a lot of celebrity type horror right now. I personally didn't like Smile 2 like at all, and I got roasted for that.
Really?
Yeah,
I'm surprised. Most people are into it. I've seen like a lot on your side.
See, they don't make their way to my comments in my YouTube videos unlike the other people, but it's okay. We all have our opinions.
It's the disagreeers that like to leave those comments.
Paragraphs.
And it's like, you know that they've copied and pasted it on every other person who doesn't like the movie.
No, I know. You can always tell when somebody copied and pasted something and you're like, nice.
So Smile 2, yeah. I have a lot that I'm going to be getting to. Like this month, though, we're entering April when we're recording this. And I'm going to be watching so much horror. Last month I was busy. I was traveling a lot. I haven't gotten to watch a lot of movies in general. But in that time, it's just been stacking up. All the horror that I want to watch.
Yeah.
And it's going to happen finally. So I'll have like more to rant about. at the beginning of these episodes.
For me, the only thing that like felt notable in horror was the switch to like direct happened this week. And there's this one game coming out called Reanimal, and it's by the same creators as Little Nightmares. It looks so good.
Yes, I have seen that. It looks like Little Nightmares.
It looks exactly like Little Nightmares. I'm not going to lie.
That's why I'm intrigued. That's why I love it.
Same. So I'm just looking forward to that game. What was that? Did you hear that? What the heck was that?
Excited for the game.
Excited for the game, baby. Alrighty. So today we're going to talk about a movie that I watched this past week, actually, specifically for the podcast. This is a movie called Presence, and well, it depending on the way you look at it, did it come out in 2024? Did it come out in 2025? Well, it came out in 2024 in January of 2024 at Sundance Film Festival.
Of course. Love that.
And then it didn't actually get a theatrical release until this January. So it's technically a very, very new movie, which I didn't realize. I saw 2024 and I was like, oh, it came out a long time ago. No, most people are just seeing it now, which was surprising to me.
I've been seeing it. It was on like the trending movies page in Letterboxd for a while.
Was it?
Over the last month. And it's something that I was just going to watch on my own for a while. But then when you brought it up as a possible episode, I was like, ooh, yeah, go for it. That would be fun. Because I am interested to see. Obviously, the title is making me think paranormal, and I'm interested to see, is it full paranormal? Are there other things that are going to come into play? I'm really excited for this one because, it was trending for a long time.
I didn't even know that. I was just like looking up, I don't even know. I was just looking up horror films, and I've just been grabbing the most random crap. You guys, it's harder for me to pick movies than it is for Cassie because she's seen everything. So I have to find a little bit more obscure things where she can be like, let's talk about Psycho. And I'm like, yeah, I haven't seen that one yet. So
no,
it's just kind
that's
of funny.
True. No, that's so true. I even have to, like, whenever you send me titles, I am like, this doesn't sound familiar, but I have to go look at the poster. Sometimes I have to read the synopsis, and then I'm like, oh, actually, I did randomly watch this when I was like 12.
Yeah, right. Exactly. So what I actually was super intrigued by, and I didn't, you know, I don't usually look too much into the writers and directors of films. Like, I'm not someone that gets that interested in like somebody's history. But when I looked at these people, I was fascinated. So this movie was written by somebody named David Koepp. Have you heard of this man?
Okay, it's the last name sounds familiar, but the name altogether doesn't. So maybe I'm just...
So I looked at his writing credits, and this is just a few. Jurassic Park, War of the Worlds, Mission Impossible, Spider-Man. Like, those are just four of the ones that I grabbed, but, like, this man has written scripts.
Whoa. Interesting, too, that a lot of those are, like, big, like, blockbustery
movies. Yeah, and okay. This was more of a film thing, like a film festival thing, which was just, I don't know, I just thought that was really cool. Yeah. It was directed by a man named Steven Soderbergh, and the only, I'm sure there was like some stuff on there that was big that I didn't recognize, but he did direct Ocean's 11. I have not seen that film, but it's a title that I hear all the time. So this is an experienced group of filmmakers right here. It was a film festival film, which sometimes those are great, obviously, as we know, as we've seen, but sometimes, you know, you never hear about them again. So it was just kind of cool to see like a writer and director with credits.
Amazing.
On this,
now I have very high expectations.
Oh boy. So we're gonna jump into it from here because there is not much else to discuss. I will say, have you seen the show This Is Us?
I haven't seen it, but I know of it. It's huge.
Okay. It's just because, like, it took me the entire film to realize that the dad in this movie was played by one of the people in This Is Us. The, I don't remember his character's name. Chris Sullivan is the name of the actor. He's like the bald white guy.
Now I'm just going to be imagining a very generic bald white man.
Perfect. Okay. So here we go. We open on a shot facing out a window onto a driveway. We kind of linger here for a while, and eventually we back away from the window to see that we're in a completely empty room, seemingly a bedroom in a house at night. It's also at this time that we realize our camera seems to be in like a first-person POV. The movement it feels a little found footage, but not quite. It's not like shaky cam, it's steady, but it feels like we're in first person POV.
Okay.
So while staying in this first person POV, we begin to wander around the house. We're going into and then out of nearly every room. We see another bedroom upstairs. Before we head downstairs, we see a dining room, a kitchen, a living area, the usual. It seems like a fairly nice old-ish home, but it is completely empty. It's a completely empty house. Mm-hmm. So camera heads back upstairs into the room we began in, and it heads into the closet. It turns around and stares out of the closet into the room for a few seconds before we cut to black, title card, presence. It is a very eerie, unsettling, uncomfortable opening.
I don't love a closet. I don't love getting in a closet. And wait, the door stays open, though, of the closet?
Door stays open. And I was going to get to in a second, and I will just – we'll jump into this now. The closet, it's one of those closets that's like accordion doors with the slats in it so you can like see through. Yeah. So even if it was closed, you could kind of see through.
Yeah. Oh, dear. It feels like we're hiding, but it's not a very good hiding space when you're leaving the door open. So I'm like, right? What am I supposed to take from this? Okay.
So now I want to take the time to explain something really important about this film. Every single scene is actually shot kind of like this. It is a seemingly first-person, free-moving POV, and each scene is real-time one-shot. It's like a play. We see the scene, it cuts to black for a few seconds, and then we open back up into a new scene. It's a really unique style, and it's like, again, it's almost found footage feeling, but yeah. Not quite. It's like smoother and more professional than like some guy running around with a camcorder.
Yeah. Oh, I love that setup, though. Have you heard of, there's a show that's been trending recently called Adolescence.
Wait, somebody just mentioned this to me, I feel it, like.
Oh my God. I've been seeing it everywhere. I think I'm going to do like a binge video on it, but it's like 4 episodes. That's it. And each episode is all one take.
Oh, wait. Yes, I did hear about that's so cool.
So that's so interesting that that is trending. And now I'm hearing about this. Like, I'd love for this to become more of a thing that people play with because it sounds so cool.
Absolutely. And it's just like something that I really admire in stuff like this is acting. It's like I respect it a lot more because there's a lot less room for error. Because if you screw up 3 minutes into a scene, you gotta redo the entire scene. So
yeah,
everything about it is just really cool to me.
Agreed.
Really love it. And as a found footage girly, and I know you are too, it's you know very close to that kind of feel, which is cool.
Amazing.
So next scene. At the end of every scene, I'm just going to say scene just to kind of make it easy to follow in that sense. So next scene, we open back in that same closet that we ended the last scene in, but it's morning now. So we hear a car pulling into the driveway and we decide to go up to the window to have a look. And a woman is getting out of her parked sedan in a rush and heading toward the home. We head on downstairs to meet her, and she's running around the empty house, turning on the lights, setting her stuff down. She's giving realtor energy. Right away. You're getting, she's a realtor.
Yeah.
Then we hear another car approaching outside and she gets an alert on her phone. And when she checks it, she lets out an, oh shit. And she runs for the door. She opens up the door to greet a family of 4, 2 adults, 2 kids. They're really like teenager, high school level kids. The realtor greets the family with an enthusiastic hello. And the woman who just arrived apologizes and is like, oh my gosh, have you been here long? And she says, oh, I'm always early, which is hilarious considering you just watched her panic get here and set everything up.
Yeah, I love it. I feel like that's probably a pretty common thing that happens amongst realtors.
For real though.
Feels very realistic.
So I'm going to go ahead and introduce you to these characters now for ease of explanation, but their names will be kind of sprinkled throughout the next couple scenes. But this is a family made up of parents Chris and Rebecca and kids Tyler and Chloe. And again, Tyler and Chloe seem to be in their high school years. The realtor hands Rebecca a pamphlet, and the first discussion they have is about the school district. Rebecca's firm in insisting that this house is in the North District, right? It's very important to her. Our realtor explains that this home just went on the market, and they are the first family to see it. It's at this point that everyone kind of, you know, parts from one another and, like, starts looking around the house. And as the audience, we follow Chloe, the daughter, as she wanders into the empty living room. She's looking at this built-in mirror above, like, a mantle or fireplace when the realtor comes up behind her and tells her that's original with the house. 100-year-old silver nitrate glass mirror. I don't know. That seems like a random fact to know. I, as a realtor, I don't think I would know that.
She's just making it up to make it sound better.
She's like, silver nitrates. It's very important, like, to this high school girl who does not give a shit, quite frankly.
Yeah.
But we learned that the house is very old, 100 years at this point.
I don't like that when it comes to horror.
I know. It's the old house, always bad vibes.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, as the realtor is talking at Chloe, who's been pretty silent this whole time, like, she's just kind of listening. She's like listening to the realtor, but she's not responding. She's not all that interested. Chloe actually glances right at the camera lens as if she sees or senses something.
Oh my God. Okay. So like I feel like I was already kind of getting there in my mind, but this is confirming it that we are the presence, like the POV.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's I was so hoping you would bring that up quickly because I was like, I don't want to keep calling it the camera. I want to call it like it because it is very clear very quickly. You're like, oh, this is the presence.
Yes. That's such a cool. I love this setup. This is really cool. And that we like, it feels like breaking the fourth wall, like looking at the camera, but also, and it is, but it's not because we are literally there. Okay. Very cool. Very,
right? When Chloe looks at the camera, like, we back up real quick and head over to the kitchen. Like, oh, we've been seen and we want to get away from there. So now we're heading to the kitchen. There, we're overhearing Chris and Rebecca talking about the home. Rebecca thinks they need to go for it now. It's a beautiful home in the exact location they want. It's a difficult market. They're the first to see it. The pressure's on. Chris is a little more hesitant. It's a big decision. Like, to just be like, yes, we want this house right now, that's kind of stressful.
Yeah.
But Rebecca once again puts a big emphasis on the school district, saying he has to go to North. He can swim 4 event. He'll be the top of every heat sheet. Chris is unimpressed. He's like, is it too soon? Rebecca asks if he's talking about Tyler, the son, and he says no, for Chloe. Rebecca sighs and says, it's life. Chris replies with, actually, it's death. And you're like, oh.
Yeah, that is about what is happening in my brain right now. Okay. I don't, like, obviously, it seems like Chloe is going through something and she has lost someone. And are we talking it's too soon to go back to school? But what would that have to do with buying? Like, you don't have to send her back to school if you're buying a house. So I'm like, I don't know what he's really getting at. But okay.
So Rebecca, she sighs and she's just like shrugging it off. She's like, she'll be fine. She'll be fine. She doesn't want to hear it. The family dynamic starts to show itself here. Rebecca wears the pants around here. Without saying anything more to Chris, she approaches the realtor and begins talking home stuff again. It's clear that if Rebecca wants to move in, it's going to happen. Chris tells Chloe to go have a look around, so she does, and she heads upstairs and we follow her. Now, again, I want to remind you, like, this has all been one shot, all of this. It's love. Very, very cool. So Chloe goes into the bedroom that we opened the film with, the bedroom with the window and the closet.
Mm-hmm.
She looks around and we, the camera, it, whatever you want to call it, we back into that same closet again. Chloe turns her head, looks straight at the camera, and seen.
Interesting. It seems like the presence is like a shy little ghosty. They're kind of cute. I mean, maybe because I'm not getting the tone of the movie, and maybe it's more sinister when you're actually watching, but you're like, oh my gosh, like Chloe looked at them and they were like, oop, ran off to the kitchen, and now they're hiding in the closet. That's the energy I'm feeling right now. But wow, that was a long scene.
Yeah, some of them, I'd say most of them are pretty long, which is why I'm just like, yes, acting.
Yeah.
Let's go. The next scene opens and we're looking out another window, I think on the first floor this time, and we see a silver truck in the driveway. A group of guys are getting out carrying paint cans, a ladder. They're wearing those like painter onesies. I don't know what they're called, but like, you know what I'm talking about.
Oh my God, I do know. That's going to bother me, but I get it. I get it. I see
There's
it.
There's definitely a word for that. But yeah. Do I know what it is? No. They're having their own little like sports banter as they come towards the house, and it's clear they're there to do some work, or, you know, paint to be more specific, in case you didn't get that from the paint cans and the onesies.
I got there.
You did. I'm so, so happy you figured that out. They head upstairs and scene. Next, we're in the main bedroom again, and one of the painters is working on the walls when the head honcho, the contractor, he comes in and he's like, I thought you'd be done in here by now. And the guy's like, yeah, me too, but Roberto left and he's working in the other room.
Come on, Roberto.
Right? The contractor is like, why the fuck isn't he in here helping you? Clearly, like, that was the agreed upon plan. But the painter goes, he wouldn't come in. And the contractor's like, huh? What do you mean? And the painter looks at him and says, he said, I'm not going in that room. That's what he said. See?
Ooh. Okay. You know what? I take back me dogging on Roberto. I think he gets it.
Roberto actually would survive. That's it. Roberto.
Winner of the movie, I guess.
Exactly. Actually, so this, I wanted to ask you, have you ever been in a situation where, like, the vibes in a room have felt off to you?
I don't think so. I'm like, not someone who has ever felt any sort of like energy. I feel human energy. Like, I walk into a room and I can read the room and I feel tension, like, that humans are giving off, but I've never ever experienced, like, feeling a vibe outside of that.
Have you ever had that thing where you walk by somebody in a store and you get, like, the most intense shivers down your spine?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. There's definitely, I can catch a vibe on people like that for sure, where I'm just like, I don't know, there's something about you I'm gonna stay away from. And
right,
sometimes I feel bad because it's like, why am I? It's not even based on, like, physical appearance though, because now, like you said, it's like an energy.
It is. And like, when I was like, because this has happened to me my whole life, like, I'll just be like in a store and I walk by somebody and like get really like this, like, thing overcomes me. It happened to me the other day on the road. I drove by somebody and it happened. And I, like, I don't actually believe this, but, like, when I was younger, I used to think it meant that they killed somebody. And I still love to live with that, just because it's kind of like, ooh, I just walked by a murderer. Like, no, you didn't. You just got a weird feeling. But, like, also, why did I get that weird feeling? I don't know.
Yeah. No, I've seen that. I don't know what the statistic is, but there's always that statistic that's like, you walk by 100 murderers through the span of your life or something like that. And it's like, that's so scary. Like, this is why I stay home.
Yeah. Don't need to leave my house.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's crazy. Anyway, sorry. That was a little bit of a side tangent.
No,
but
that's, I love it.
So now we find ourselves in the living room area and the house is looking furnished. So it's been a minute. Don't know how long, but they've moved in and they've furnished the house. Rebecca is out on the porch and she's on the phone and it seems like she's stressed out. We're watching from inside, but we can hear everything outside very clearly. And
okay.
She's telling somebody on the other end of the phone that she doesn't need to know this information. Quote, Dave, the whole point is I don't know that. I scaled the shit out of the first 2.5 without knowing. It's hard to tell what she's talking about, but it's shady. Whatever it is, it seems shady.
When you say I scaled the shit out of the first 2.5, I'm imagining her just like climbing mountains somewhere.
I'm not going to lie. I don't know what that means. No. But
it's probably like a finance thing or something.
Probably.
I don't know.
I was like, I don't know what scaling is, but
I'm just going to choose to believe she's a mountaineer. Just for headcanon, yeah.
I like this. No, I like this. This is a good way to go with this. Now, it seems like it could be the same day. We're in the living room where Rebecca's telling Tyler about some sort of trouble. So her son. We're not getting any specifics, but now Tyler's the one that's like, why are you telling me this? I shouldn't know shit like that. Rebecca tells Tyler that everything she's ever done has been for her son, for him, for Tyler.
Okay, so like, fuck Chloe, I guess? What is up with, because before in the kitchen too, like, she didn't give a shit about whatever the father, Chris, is worried about Chloe. And she's like, she'll be fine. And now she's like, everything I do is for you, sweetie,
it's for
to Tyler.
You. Ugh. So she's actually like grabbing his, whoa. That sounded like it was about to go somewhere bad.
You can't pause like that.
Okay, but it's not even that much better. So,
oh God.
She's grabbing and rubbing his hands a little too much. It just feels overly affectionate in a way that makes me a bit uncomfortable.
Yeah.
She even says to him, I've never felt this close to another human being ever.
No.
Which is like, that's weird, right? I'm not crazy for thinking that's a bit much for your, like, a mother and her high school son.
No, that is very, very weird.
Okay, it's not just me. I'm so glad. And you know what I put here? Is anything else striking you as weird from this conversation? But you clocked it before we even got there. So I'm so happy. I'm so proud of you.
I'm on top of it. I get a vibe. People freak me out.
You got a vibe. Because Tyler looks at his mother right now and says exactly what I'm thinking. He says, what about Chloe?
Thank you, Tyler.
Thank you, Tyler. Rebecca kind of stutters with some like, well, yeah, of course. But then she's like, it's just different. And she's caressing his hands as she says this.
Why? No, it doesn't. You can stop now. You didn't need to start.
That never needed to be something that was happening.
No, wait. Do we know? I don't know if it even matters, but do we know which one is older out of Tyler and Chloe?
Tyler.
Interesting. So also her firstborn.
Yes, exactly. She says, in the end, it was all for you. Tyler gets up and is like, literally says, go to bed, mom, and just walks out of the room. Scene.
Real.
Like, just such a bizarre little moment that I personally kind of hated.
Yeah.
This next, like, cut is, like, it just kind of says a lot to me. And so now we're in Chloe's room, and she's curled up on her bed, like, knees to her chest, head on her knees, and she's crying. Side note, I love the vibe of her room, though. Like, she's got the mood lighting right with the string lights, the lamp. Even the way the streetlights are coming into her room at night, it's like, oh, it's so beautiful. And I'm like, give me that lighting in my bedroom, please.
I love that. I love, okay, I have a random story. Please I love, I love a streetlight, like, pouring into a room. And I have a streetlight, like, by my bedroom window that can come in. And I used to keep my bedroom window open all of the time because at night, because I liked the streetlight. And one time the timing of this was so weird, but like I was walking downstairs from my bedroom, going downstairs, and this car zooms past my house. Okay. And then all of a sudden I see it stop and like hard brake stop on the street. Ooh. And I'm like halfway down the stairs and I can see this car out of the downstairs window. It does a full reverse and I'm standing there like, why are you reversing? That was weird. So I went back up to my bedroom because I don't know why I had this feeling, but I went back up to my bedroom and it's reversed and stopped right outside my bedroom window.
Ew.
And there were like these two guys in there and it was pitch black outside and like the only light was like I had my bedroom light on.
Oh, and God.
Yeah. And I literally, like, I was crawling around my bedroom.
I would have done the same shit, though.
I'm like, why? That's so freaky to me. Like, why did you? It's like they zoomed past, saw that they could see into my bedroom, and then immediately reversed and just sat there and waited.
Ew.
I don't know what they were waiting for, but I was able to like close the blinds like from the floor.
Oh my God.
and then they sat there for like another 5 minutes before finally leaving. And I don't know if that was all in my head or why they did that, but street lamps have been ruined for me ever since. Like I enjoy them through movies. I got so excited when we did Watcher, my last movie, and I pointed out the same exact thing you did. I was like, there's street lights pouring in.
Streetlights.
Well, not for me, guys.
Never again. Anyways, Chloe's crying. she turns off her lamp. She decides to get under the covers. It looks like she wants to like go to sleep, but she's still crying. And now we in our first person, POV, it, whatever, are behind her, like she's facing away from us until she quickly turns over and looks in the general direction of the camera.
Okay.
And we back away. She sits up and she actually gets out of bed and begins to walk toward us as we back into the closet. She follows us all the way to the closet. And when she gets close to the door, she says, Nadia? Scene.
Oh my God. Okay. My mind immediately goes to like a friend of hers that passed.
Mm-hmm.
And now she's feeling this presence and hoping that it's that friend. And it's just a matter of, is it or is it not? I guess it could be. I don't know.
Now we're in Chloe's room again, and we can hear the shower running in the bathroom off of her room. So we assume, like, she must be in the shower right now. We're in the closet. Mm-hmm. And the spirit slash it slash whatever looks around a bit and even walks up to a photo of Chloe and another girl and stares at it for a bit. Some haunting piano music kicks in as the spirit walks over to her bed and begins to close her books and clean her bed off, like putting stuff away. So we as the audience are seeing like books closing by themselves and things floating around as we're like cleaning up her stuff.
I need to remind myself that this is a horror movie and this is not going to be Casper the Friendly Ghost because honestly, this is so cutesy.
I know, right
ghost.
Now you're like, aw. Thanks.
God, unless he knows now that he can prey on her by making her believe he is Nadia. Oh, God.
Chloe comes out of the bathroom, and when she sees her books neatly stacked on her desk, she actually lets out a little scream. And her dad comes running in to be like, what's wrong? And she stutters and says, I thought I saw something, a mouse. She clearly doesn't want to share what just happened. But, like, if you're in her shoes, are you automatically going to assume you're crazy or think something weird happened? What is your first thought in her shoes?
My first thought is just, what the fuck? Like, I wouldn't come. I don't think I'd come to an immediate conclusion, especially if, like, a family member of mine came and was like, what? Like, I'm very close with them. And I'd be like, bro, I don't know what's going on, but this just happened. I swear to God, I didn't leave it like that. Uh-huh. And I think I wouldn't be so freaked out to the point where, like, I'd spiral, but I'd be like, ghosts, man. Might be a ghost. But I'd be like, ghosts. Not totally, like, serious about it, I think, at the same time. I would just, like, chalk it up to ghosts in, like, a LOL type of way.
Yeah. I think what I was thinking when I was, like, writing this out, I was like, honestly, my first instinct would be like, yo, dad, did you just, like, come in here and put my books away? Like, that would probably be my first thought. Like, somebody came in here and put my shit away. I would not jump to ghosts, except that she's been, like, sensing stuff up to this point. So she clearly thinks, like, something's happening.
Yeah.
But otherwise, yeah, I'd probably just be like, yo, dad, why were you in here touching my stuff?
Yeah.
What are you doing? So next we find ourselves in the kitchen with Chris and Rebecca, and Chris seems concerned about Chloe. Like, she's jumping at loud noises. She just seems off. But Rebecca's shrugging it off, saying she's always been an anxious kid.
Oh, my God. So I let's know. Not do anything about it.
Yeah,
exactly. Let's not help her. She just is, like, always going to be anxious, and there's nothing we can do about it.
She has anxiety. Just let her die. It's fine. Like, whatever.
Yeah.
Chris then says, maybe we should test her. Rebecca laughs that off, but Chris is like, no, really, we can take a hair from her hairbrush. And Rebecca's like, nah, but you're also like, huh?
Wait, yeah, what? Test her for what?
Yeah. Then Chris says, look, she knows that the same people that Nadia knew. Rebecca tries to interrupt, but he says, no, the same shit is still out there. Rebecca rebukes, saying Nadia had been smoking pot since she was 11. Chloe's nothing like her.
Okay, so we think, well, they think that she's using, because that's what, yeah, she was with that crowd, at least when she was hanging out with Nadia.
Chris says, it only takes one time. That's 2 dead kids in 2 months.
Oh, they literally died from, like, they overdosed. Okay.
Rebecca just starts ignoring him here, and she goes back to whatever's on her laptop. She's like, yeah, whatever. Okay, whatever.
But my daughter's going to overdose. Chill. Let me know when that happens.
I got work to do. So Chris continues and says, she just stopped breathing, dead in her own bed. Chris is really worried about Chloe. And, like, she's not talking. She's acting different. But Rebecca just, she just keeps shrugging it off. She says, there's no fixing this. And quote, she can't take us all down with her. Time is the only thing that will help.
Oh my God. What do you mean? Okay. She can't take us all down with her. Well, could you maybe try raising her up? Do you think maybe you could, like, it doesn't have, the way she thinks about her daughter is so genuinely devastating.
I know. I think you're going to love this next line from Chris, because you already kind of said this. Chris sighs and he says, have you ever noticed that all your advice always corresponds exactly with us not having to do anything at all? And it, like, this pisses her off. She's pissed. She's like, but I love what Chris did here. He actually, like, stood up for Chloe, cares, because it's clear at this point, like, Rebecca only cares about Tyler. Chris is there to protect Chloe. Rebecca's there just to worry about what Tyler's up to.
Yeah. At least she has, I mean, not that this is, like, the greatest option. You'd ideally want to have 2 great parents, but at least she has one parent that cares about her, especially because I feel like she's being targeted right now by a literal demon. So
right, exactly. No, Chris, like, you just, like, love Chris throughout this, because he's just,
yeah,
he's a good dad.
Love you, Chris. Love you, Roberto.
Chris and Roberto. Let's go. So next, we come upon Chris in the kitchen eating dinner alone, and he picks up his phone and sends a message to someone using like speech to text. And he says he has a legal question he wants to ask. So he'd love for this guy to call him back. Chris empties the rest of a bottle of wine into his glass and scene.
I'm hoping it's divorce.
Divorce, love. Divorce.
Divorce, babes. Divorce.
That's it.
I love that our mind both went there.
So next we open on Chloe and she's sitting in her bed and we hear some people enter the house downstairs, two male voices. We hear one say, my parents aren't going to be here, but he says that his sister's here. So we know it's Tyler and presumably one of Tyler's friends.
Okay.
They decide to stop by Chloe's room to say hi and we learn that Tyler's friend's name is Ryan. It's kind of an awkward introduction. Like Chloe and Ryan are just kind of like, hey.
Yeah.
And then like that's it. Because like what else do you say to like your brother's friend? Like, okay.
Exactly. Cool. Especially when you're a teenager, like you're not allowed to like really be nice.
Right.
To your brother's right. friends.
Right. You're like, no, ew, gross.
Yeah.
So then we follow Tyler and Ryan to Tyler's room. And Ryan looks at Tyler and says, dude, he gives a nod towards Chloe's room.
Oh, of course. Uh-huh. He's into her.
Uh-huh. And Tyler just goes, don't even. And he kind of pushes it a little bit, Ryan, like clearly saying he's interested in her without actually saying it. And Tyler just changes the topic. Like he doesn't want to go there.
Yeah. Poor Tyler.
I know. Tyler says he wants to have a party next week. Something chill, like kickback kind of vibes. And Ryan's like, nah, man, we got to have a rager.
Oh, boy.
The spirit leaves the room and goes back to Chloe. And we can overhear some light chatter from Tyler and Ryan. And it's kind of indistinct, but like they start talking about prescriptions, drugs, something about. Oh. Yeah.
Yikes.
And you're like, oh, no. Chloe is laying on her bed, like on her stomach facing away from the door. You know, like when you're just kind of like on your phone or something, whatever.
Yeah.
She's facing away. And even though the spirit is standing about 7 feet or so from the door, we can see it close the door slowly and lightly without Chloe noticing.
Mm-hmm. Is he
in the room with Chloe?
Oh, so like closes behind them.
Yeah.
My thoughts are ew. And run.
You said run and I just imagine that like TikTok sound. Just like run.
Run. Yes. Okay. I mean, yeah, I don't know. That's creepy.
Yeah. So next scene. Rebecca and Chris are talking in their room about some work stuff. Rebecca lets Chris know that Tyler won his swim meets. What she says here, she goes, oh, Tyler won his swim meets. Let him tell you. Like, girl, why didn't you just let him tell him instead of telling him and then just being like, let him tell. Like, that's just.
Do you know what that is kind of giving to? Like, in. Because we know how she's kind of weird. There's possibly like a romantic energy that mm-hmm. she's giving off to her own son. But also her being like, oh, he did this, he did that, but let him, whatever. It's kind of giving like her getting off on always being in the know and like being the first person like to know things about her son. You know, like how when you like somebody or when somebody likes somebody, they'll be like, oh, yeah, he did this and he did that. And like they just want you to know that they know everything. Yeah. But like you shouldn't be feeling that way when you're literally their mom. Hello. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm very.
There's like an obsessive, weird energy there.
Yes.
Chris actually mentions here that he found what could be a new therapist for Chloe. A woman, he says, might be better for her. So she's been going to a male therapist and he actually had the brains to be like, maybe she should go to a woman. Like,
love that.
Thank you, Chris.
Yeah.
Rebecca hits him again with a, she just needs time shit. And Chris claps back, two kids. You have two kids. Literally, Chris, every time he says something like this, I just like, yes.
Yeah.
Get her.
Like, yes. So we're all aware. I wonder if the kids are aware or if it's just him.
Ugh. Right. So Chris leaves the room and heads over to Chloe's room just to ask her how her day was and if she wants to order burritos for dinner. And they seem to have like a solid, fun, kind of cute relationship. And it's clear he's putting in extra effort for Chloe because Rebecca only pays attention to Tyler and never Chloe at all. He's just really sweet. And it's just and like. Also, this is a side note, anybody who watches This Is Us and knows Chris Sullivan, like, he's also so sweet in This Is Us. So it's just like, he must only play sweet characters. He's like teddy bear energy, you know, like, aww. He's such a sweet dude.
It's just him. He just plays himself.
He just plays himself. I hope he's a good guy. If he's not, oh my God, I would be so sad. No, he better be. He better be. As Chris begins to head downstairs, his phone starts ringing and he picks up and it's Howard. I guess this is the guy that he called before about the legal advice.
Yeah.
He heads outside to take the call and because it's clear he wants some privacy. Now, again, the spirit remains in the house, but we can still overhear the conversation outside.
Mm-hmm.
Chris explains that a friend of his has a legal question that he wanted to run by Howard. This is what he asks. If one person in a marriage is into something that isn't strictly legal, what are the implications of the other spouse? We get some uh-huhs, like nods, yes, and such from Chris before he asks, and what if they were legally separated? So something weird there.
So it is there. Divorce is part of the conversation. But what he said, someone is into something that isn't legal. Am I supposed to know what he's talking about right now?
No, this is still like all that stuff from before. Remember when Rebecca was on the phone and she was being shady? Like clearly like Chris knows about that. But like we still don't know unless maybe I'm just dumb and I wasn't picking up on it. Like clearly there's just like something sketchy going on there.
So she's like into something weird, probably again a finance thing, like cheating the system.
I don't know if it's finance or remember the conversation with Tyler and when she was like, everything I do is for you. I'm like, is it something to do with him and like his swim stuff
Or like giving him some sort of leg up somehow?
Exactly. Like it's not really clear.
Man, I completely forgot about that because in my head she was genuinely just scaling those mountains. So I was like,
oh, that's right. I forgot we put that on there. She was just, you know, climbing the mountains or whatever.
Total but fraud. Okay, now with this context, it's, there's some more realistic theories happening in my head.
It then appears that Howard asks him how he's doing because he responds with, if I'm honest, I'm not doing great. I'm fucking coming apart is what I'm, everything is coming apart. His voice kind of cracks a bit and it's so hard to watch because like this whole time you've just been like loving Chris and he eventually, like, he hangs up the phone and immediately breaks down into tears alone on the back porch scene. Aww, okay. It hurts, man. So, next scene. Now, Chloe and Ryan are actually walking into the front door together. Seems like they're coming home from school or something. And Ryan says to Chloe, you sure? And she says, yeah, not for a couple hours. So, it sounds like nobody else is home but Chloe and Ryan. Chloe actually pours herself some liquor and asks Ryan if he's thirsty. He says no thanks. I know. Like I didn't she had like been so quiet up to this point that like I was not expecting this from her character.
No, yeah, this is not I wouldn't have expected this either for sure.
Right. Cuz she's like we haven't seen her a whole ton. She's been very quiet and just like kept to herself. And then like now we finally start to see her character a little more and it was just like not what I was expecting at all.
Yeah.
She asks Ryan if he's thirsty and he says no thanks and she calls him a pussy. She downs the liquor, essentially a shot, and then asks Ryan if he wants to see her bedroom. He's like, I saw it. Like, you know, like the other day, remember? And they stopped by and said, hey. Chloe's like, you're so fucking weird. Girl tries to get you to drink and see your room and you say, I saw it. I'm like, girl, what are you saying?
Literally, what is the energy in this family? Hold on. Who's talking right now? Who's having a conversation right now? Let me make sure I'm
Ryan.
Following.
What?
So I thought she was talking to her brother.
Oh my God! No!
That's why I was like, what's wrong with this family?
No! I was like, I honestly just thought it was weird that she wanted that, but
no, I would say okay, well, now it's not as weird to me because I'm like, oh, thank God. But no, very, very forward and also definitely not the healthiest way of thinking still.
It's kind of icky.
Yeah.
It just feels a little icky to me. So she starts to head upstairs. Like she just kind of walks away and he says, fine, and follows her upstairs. Scene. Chloe's laying on her bed while Ryan pokes around at some stuff on her dresser and she just goes, this is strong as shit. The first time I watched this, I thought she was just really feeling that shot.
Yeah.
But on second watch, I realized they, like, had smoked weed. I didn't pick up on this at all. It's not like super clear, I guess, unless you are knowledgeable about weed. I'm not. Sorry, I'm a loser. Because Ryan, like, he has his hands in some tinfoil. I didn't even see that the first time. And he says, yeah, train wreck. Hits quick, but mellows fast if you just sit with it. I looked it up. Train wreck is a strain of weed. But, like, I didn't know that.
No, I would not pick up on that. And what is the tinfoil about? Is that just, like, that's where it is?
I guess that's where it is. I don't, okay. It's hard. It's far away from the camera. So, like, it looks like he's poking around tinfoil. I'm like, I literally just thought she was really feeling that shot. And I was so confused. I was like, okay.
Yeah.
Like, it's one shot, girl. It seems like you do this often. So, I don't know why he's hitting you so hard. No, they smoked. And I,
okay.
But you don't see it.
Okay.
Ryan sees a photo on Chloe's mirror and asks, oh, you knew her? And Chloe's like, yeah, she was my best friend. He says that he thinks he might have met her once at a party. And this leads us into a weird, deep convo that makes so much more sense when you know they're high. Because the first time I'm like, what are you saying to each other? And then when you know they're high, it all makes sense. It's like this weird, like, deep philosophical conversation, but in a very high way, you know?
Sure. Oh, yeah.
Ryan lays next to Chloe on her bed, and they're talking about what it's like to lose someone, what it's like to die, like all of this stuff. And Ryan's actually stroking Chloe's hair, and he asks, do you think she did it on purpose? And Chloe's like, no. Like, she just got some bad shit.
Yeah.
They're both, like, laying there, and then suddenly Chloe just, like, has this, like, panic moment. She stops and she goes, I think she's here. Nadia's here. And then we, as the camera, we kind of back up from the two of them. It's like, ooh. And Ryan's like, huh, where? And Chloe snaps out of it and is like, oh, nothing, never mind. And she kisses him, like, just seemingly in a panic. She's just like, she wants to just, you know,
forget it.
Like, oh, nothing, never mind. And then she just kisses him.
Yeah.
And then she apologizes and Ryan tells her, no, it's okay, and kisses her back. And then she breaks down and starts crying.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
Ryan's actually really comforting here. He's saying it's okay. He says this is going to go exactly how you want it to. And then he kind of goes into, like, this dark space for a second. And he starts ranting, like, calmly ranting, but, like, ranting about how he doesn't have any control in his life. And he doesn't get to make any of his own decisions. Things are dark for him. It seems like he comes from a controlling family. And he seems like he really went somewhere because, like, he kind of snaps out of it. Mm-hmm. And comes back and he's like, but this is all you, kind of implying that she's going to make the decisions in this relationship. I put quotes around that. It's up to her what they do and where they go. And she kind of has calmed down now, and she kisses him and they start to make out and undress. Now, remember, Spirit has been witnessing all of this. And at this moment, we turn away and we look at the closet. We hear a bit of a rumbling start to happen, and the shelf in the closet comes collapsing to the ground.
Okay. Wait, that's so weird, because we're not in the closet. Like, we, the ghost, the presence, are not in the closet, but it's assumed that the presence caused that to happen. But that's interesting, because up until this point, it's just been, like, the presence moving the books, the presence closing the door with what I assumed was, I don't know, his little ghosty hands. But now, but now it's like, oh, the presence can, like, make – it's, like, telekinetic.
Yes, exactly.
That's spooky. And also, it's like, are you jealous? Because why are you lashing out when she's with a boy?
Right.
Interesting.
So, obviously, this startles Chloe and Ryan, and Chloe seems, like, genuinely scared, and Ryan laughs it off as some cheap-ass drywall. Chloe decides to approach the closet where we're standing.
No. Just close the door. We don't use it anymore now.
We don't use that closet. So she actually comes, like, right up to the camera, and then we hear a heavy breath or a blow, and Chloe's hair actually whips back up, like, from her face, and, like, we see it happen, and she jumps back. And Ryan's like, yo, what happened? And she goes, it's just the weed.
Wait, that is an annoying part of that. Because maybe when you're high, it's like, oh, that was some weird – was that laced? Like, why did I experience – I would chalk it up to the drugs as well.
Yeah.
If I was sober and that happened to me, I'd be like, so, Tyler, we're switching rooms. Have fun in there.
You can have fun. I don't want to be in there anymore.
Yeah.
So later that evening, the family is sitting at the dinner table having dinner, and Chloe actually asks them if they've seen or sensed anything in the house.
Yeah.
Unsurprisingly, Chris is listening to her, and he seems confused and concerned, but he is listening. And he says, good. No, I haven't, you know, I haven't sensed anything. I haven't seen anything. Rebecca is kind of just on her phone, like emailing, texting, whatever she's doing during this conversation. Like, yep. She's not really paying any attention.
Of course.
Chloe says, I've seen things. Like, she's seen things move, and she gets a feeling that there's something in the house. This is when Tyler starts to, like, scoff and roll his eyes. And Rebecca seems a little annoyed, too. She's just tuning it out, but she's like, whatever. Chloe then says she experiences, I'm going to try this. Oh, God. It's actually not hard to pronounce, but now that I'm looking at the word, athazagoraphobia.
Oh, okay.
And I was like,
what's that?
Come again? And Chris has the same reaction. He's like,
Yeah.
You experience what? And she says, it's the fear of being forgotten or ignored. She just experiences this. And I'm like, that to me is weird. Like, I don't even know what that means to suddenly experience that, but then chalk it up to paranormal.
Yeah. Wait. Okay, wait. Because who said that? The mom said that?
No, Chloe says, like,
about herself.
About herself. Like, she suddenly just experiences that when she's sensing things.
So, wow, that is weird, because you're sensing things, like, you're sensing a presence, but then feeling forgotten and ignored. You would think it would be like you feel like seen.
Right.
Because you're seeing something, and so you would think that they can also see you. Mm-hmm. That is really, I don't know what to take from that.
Yeah. This is when Tyler loses it, though. He starts dropping expletives and, like, it's his full-time job. Seriously, what the fuck? I get that you guys have to listen to this shit, but I don't. He goes off on Chloe, saying this is just another way she's going to make him look like a fucking idiot. Chris is trying to stand up for Chloe, but Tyler just keeps going. You think your dead fucking drug addict friend is, like, haunting you? That's what this is? Even Rebecca cuts in now and is like, all right, Tyler, stop, which is crazy to me. Rebecca just stood up low-key for Chloe in this moment, which is
right? Shocking.
Wild. But no, Tyler keeps it up. He says, that guy, Ryan, he's huge at this school, and he came to me to be friends. Do you even get how massive that is?
Oh my God, that's so embarrassing. That's so embarrassing to say.
Literally an insane thing to say. But he's just worried that Chloe's gonna screw up his perfect little image and, like, doesn't give a shit about her at all. He's just like, please don't screw up the way that I look to other people.
It makes sense, like him and the mom being so close. Mm-hmm. But I'm thinking more, I'm still stuck on, like, the feeling forgotten.
Yes.
It would make sense if she thinks that this presence is Nadia. It's like Nadia left her behind, and, like, she almost wishes she could be with her. I don't know if it's quite like on track of completely suicidal thoughts, but, like, almost feeling like that sadness of, like, I feel like you're seeing, or I'm feeling like I'm sensing you, but I can't be with you, and you're not seeing me and taking me with, I don't know, something like that.
So everybody starts yelling and just screaming at each other. Like, everybody's yelling at this point. And Tyler gets up from the table and just storms upstairs. Scene. Later that night, Tyler comes downstairs to see Chris in the living room. And he asks, like, do you have a second? And Tyler actually says, it's possible that I was an asshole. Mm. You think, Tyler? Do you think you might have been an asshole when you basically told your sister that her existence didn't matter as long as it was benefiting you?
Yeah, right? Hmm. I should not be as pleasantly surprised as I am, because it's like, yeah, this, bare minimum.
It's so funny because I was, like, so excited, and then I was like, girl, hold on, back up.
No,
like,
that is,
like you just said, bare minimum.
It's because we're like, the mom would never be right. Like, oh, I'm sorry, I think I might have taken the wrong step here. So it's like, since she's that bad, you expect Tyler to be that product of his mom.
Right.
But listen, there's still a lot of growth to be had, buddy. But good job.
Just a little. He says that he actually tried to apologize to Chloe, but she told him to get out of her room, which is totally valid. Mm-hmm. Chris and Tyler have a little conversation here, and Chris tries to remind his son that Chloe's been through a lot. She knew both the girls who died, he says. Mm-hmm. Tyler didn't seem to know this info, because he's like, both?
What? Oh, okay. Maybe there's someone other than Nadia.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But then Tyler continues to say those fucking idiots putting shit in their bodies. Okay. He's kind of unbearable. Mm-hmm. Like blaming these girls for having taken bad drugs.
Mm-hmm.
It's ridiculous. He tells Chris that Chloe's definitely fucked in the head, but it has nothing to do with dead friends. He's thinking that she's using drugs. Chris just kind of leaves the room because he is tired. This poor man is tired. He's had enough and seen.
Oh, man. We don't get like a clear answer on what type of drugs they were, just like hard drugs.
Yeah, I think
It wasn't even like weed like laced with something bad. It was probably like more intense.
Yeah. Okay. They might bring it up at some point, but I don't think it's significant.
Okay.
Like the type of drugs that they were using.
Yeah.
So now we cut to another night and the whole family is in the living room. Chris is on his feet drinking his wine. He loves his wine. He's just kind of pacing around the living room. And Chloe sits on the couch with a pillow on her lap. She's got her phone. And Tyler and Rebecca are having a very animated conversation. In this conversation, Tyler is describing a prank that he and his friends pulled on some girl at school. It's one of those pranks, you know, like where they make the girl think that the guy she has a crush on was into her and like is messaging her from some, like one of those pranks.
So mean.
Uh-huh. So what sucks but is so unsurprising is that like the mom is laughing and like she's into it. Like she's into this story. She thinks it's funny. Where Chris and Chloe are both just sitting there like silent, like,
yeah.
Okay, like why? Ugh. This is kind of nasty, but whatever. The camera actually does get like close to Chris during this and you can see just pure disappointment on his face as he's just overhearing this entire story. Then we get to the part of the story where Tyler says, and she sends him the picture. Rebecca interrupts and says, well, I don't love that. She's actually disapproving of something that Tyler says.
Wow.
But Tyler's like, no. Like, he wasn't in it for the picture. It's not about the picture. He continues the story when Chris cuts him off and says, he didn't keep the picture, did he? Tyler's just like, no. Anyway, whatever.
Oh, my God.
And they keep going. And Chloe's sitting there on her phone looking kind of uncomfortable as her brother tells the story when we start to hear a loud, high-pitched ringing sound. And Chloe speaks up and is like, what is that? Mm-hmm. But nobody really seems to pay any attention to her because they don't seem to hear it.
Oh, no. Okay.
So Tyler just keeps telling his story with, again, too much joy. He just thinks this is so funny.
Yeah.
And he's talking about how the whole school started making fun of this girl and he thinks it's hilarious. And then Chloe interrupts and says, so how'd the picture get out? As she holds up her phone.
Oh my God.
To Tyler. At this point, all three of them look at Tyler like, oh, that's kind of fucked up. And they start kind of getting into a bit of an argument and everyone's just like, why the fuck? Like, is the picture on the internet? Who posted it? Like, why do you have that? Blah, 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 blah. But we leave the room and we head upstairs as some haunting strings kick in. Now, for the most part, this movie's been environmental sound. Okay, when little bits of music kick in, it's like, ooh, intense.
Something's happening.
Something's happening. So we head upstairs and we go straight into Tyler's room. And when we get there, shit starts rumbling. The desk starts to shake. Trophies start flying off the shelves. Things are being thrown around, lights flickering, the whole deal, like dresser drawers opening and closing, just like wild shit's going on.
You know what, Ballad? I'm pissed at Tyler too.
Me, exactly. So believe it or not, the entire family comes upstairs and sees it happening. They Amazing. All witness this, which we've talked about this before. Like, it's such a refreshing thing when everybody sees shit.
Such a satisfying moment that I wish every paranormal movie incorporated, because otherwise I'm just so, like, not having a good time type of frustrated.
Uh-huh. Because you're just, like, so mad. You're like, just believe it, please. even though I know in their shoes, I probably wouldn't believe them either. And I'm just like, I kind of play devil's advocate a lot there.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
If my friend came to me and was like, yo, a ghost just like threw something across my room, I'd be like,
yeah. Especially when that friend has been like going through a hard time and dealing with grief.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
But I hope that Chloe gets her I told you so moment now.
Yeah. They're all terrified, but Chloe like walks into the room and Chris is like, Chloe, what are you doing? Get out of here.
Yeah.
But when she goes in, everything stops. The lights go out and everything just stops. And she says, it's her. It's Ooh. Nadia.
scene. I don't think it is, girl. I don't think so, but I have no... Now I'm getting to the point in the plot where I'm like, how was this going to pan out? Like, how is this going to end? I don't know. Because the ghost, the presence does seem to, like, have a liking for Chloe, but I'm like, that doesn't necessarily mean good things. So no, I'm still, I'm pretty much scared for everyone at this point.
So next scene, the entire family's outside on the porch and we're watching again from inside and they're kind of in panic mode. Like, what the fuck just happened? What do? We can't go back in there. And Tyler looks at Chloe, who's the most chill out of the group, and is like, how can you be so fucking calm about this? And she just shrugs with a smug, I tried to tell you.
There it is.
There it is.
I told you so.
I told you, and you guys all made fun of me. So, and it I wrote, this part is so satisfying because we don't ever get this from horror. So for her to literally have an I told you so moment in the film, just
perfect. Love that.
Chloe goes on to say she doesn't mean harm. She knows it's Nadia, and they're still kind of doubting her. Like, how do you know? How do you know that? And she says she just does. She can sense her. They argue a bit more before the scene ends. So you don't think it's Nadia?
I don't.
Okay.
I think this is like, I'm going to stick with that theory that this is like an evil being that is trying to get at Chloe, making her think that they're Nadia. It's possible that it is Nadia, but if it is, I'm like, I guess that would be twisted if like Nadia, her friend, literally like killed. People have to die. Like, it's a horror movie. So I'm like, what is this presence capable of? What's it going to do? What's its motive? And if it's Nadia, that would be crazy for like this family to just get picked off by her friend.
Yeah.
I don't know. So yeah, I'm going to stick with not Nadia.
Okay. Okay. So in the next scene, the whole family is back in the living area together and Chris is just getting off the phone with the realtor. He says there were no other reports of this sort of thing happening in this house ever in the past, but she does know somebody who's sensitive to the spirit world and is happy to hook them up. Chris said that he agreed to have this woman come by the house tomorrow at 12:30. Tyler and Rebecca are super skeptical, which tell me how the fuck you're skeptical right now. Because it seems like they don't believe in, as they put it, psychics.
I mean, so you believe in ghosts now, though. So why is a psychic so crazy to you?
Exactly. Exactly. That's like my thing is like, I'm not sure how I feel about psychics. But if that happened in my house, I'd be like, yeah, get her in here. Yeah. Like, bring her over here.
Yep.
So the next day, this woman arrives and her name is Lisa. And she arrives with her husband, Carl. Oh, God, I love this moment. So we go to greet them at the door, and we are standing directly in the doorway. So Lisa's, like, walking in, and as she gets close to the camera, like, she has this, like, subtle gasp as she, like, jumps backward.
Ooh.
Like, she walked into us in a way.
Yeah.
But it's subtle enough that, like, no one really noticed, but, like, obviously we did.
Yeah.
And it's just, like, it's just, it looks really cool.
That sounds cool.
So then we head inside. It's time to get started. So we get situated in the living room and Lisa takes a seat on the couch while we, the audience, stay on the far side of the living room. But Lisa is like staring us down right now. She slowly gets up and walks to that old mirror that we talked about before. She looks into it and says, Blue. Rebecca chimes in to say, that's Chloe's middle name.
Oh.
Then Chris is like, well, I did tell her that. Oh. Doesn't mean anything. He had given her all of their full names ahead of time, which for me is a red flag with psychics.
I would never, because like you could probably find something that you can work your way into the conversation making me think that you know me, but you just saw something on the internet or whatever it is.
Right, exactly. So like I'm like, well, that pulls some credibility from the psychic. But Lisa just keeps kind of staring at the camera. Even as we move around the room, she just like keeps looking at us.
Okay.
And then she says, it's suffering. Just like you are, Chloe.
Oh, okay. Calling us out.
Bitch.
Fuck. Trying my best here.
And then she's like, so you lost your friend. And Chris whispers like off in the corner, like, I didn't tell her that part.
Okay.
I didn't tell her. So Lisa asks Chloe what the name of her friend who passed was, and she tells her name is Nadia. And Lisa tells Chloe that the death of her friend has brought her more than pain. She seems to suggest that it also brought her the ability to sense things on the other side. So like this trauma brought this out of her. Now, if you're Chloe in this situation, are you comforted by what Lisa's saying, or does that kind of freak you out?
If I'm her, I'd probably be comforted because I'd be like, yeah, I knew it. And now I can sense Nadia and whatever. Right. I think I would want to be really hopeful and look at the positives. Like my mind wouldn't go to demon. My mind would be like, oh, my friend, it's her. Yeah. It really is her.
Right. Yeah. I think I'd be comforted because it's like somebody's validating me at that point a little bit. Even though it is like freaky to think, oh, I can just sense things now. It's like, you already knew that. Now you're getting confirmation from somebody else. So Lisa goes on to say, you have a presence here. It feels connected to you. And like she says that to Chloe. Chloe asks if she can tell, like, is it Nadia? Is it Nadia? She says, it's confused. It doesn't know why it's here. Something happened to it. Probably here in this house. Time doesn't work the same way for it. Past, present can be happening the same. So it doesn't even know when it is.
Mm-hmm.
And all throughout this little spiel that she's giving, she keeps looking between Chloe and us. Mm-hmm. And it's just kind of creepy because like she just keeps like looking into our soul. Because you're not used to people looking into the camera so much in horror. And it's – or in film, I should say. In found footage, like it feels right because it's like you're just a home movie. But when it's so polished and professional and, like, the characters keep looking in the lens, it's like, hello.
Yeah, unsettling.
She says there's something that it needs to know, but it doesn't actually know what that thing that it needs to know is.
Oh.
It's all very vague, but, like, she's giving us something, but it's all, like, giving us – it's basically what she's giving us is that this spirit doesn't know what or when it is. It doesn't know what it wants, but it's here.
Okay. I mean, I'd rather the psychic tell me that the ghost in my home is confused over, like, evil and mad, you know?
Yeah, exactly. So. Actually, it wants to kill you.
Yeah.
So then that high-pitched sound that we heard before with Chloe, like, it comes in again. And Lisa, she turns back to the mirror and says, old mirrors are so much better than new ones. They're like old people. They've seen more. I want you to know I'll never look into a mirror the same way ever again after hearing that.
Wait. Yeah, giving like – thinking about mirrors in a sentient way is kind of scary.
That's horrifying. I hated that.
They have seen some – oh, my God. I have an old, old, old me. I have a 100-year-old me. I have a 100
–
I have a 100-year-old mirror in my house that is part of a cabinet that my great, great, great grandpa built.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
And now I'm a little scared. I'm already scared of the fruit cellar. Now I have to be scared of the mirror.
Is the mirror in the fruit cellar?
No, it's literally in – oh my God. But it's in the cabinet that's attached to the wall. It's like this big like
– oh.
It's this big like built-in cabinet in the wall.
So what I want you to do is go in front of it and say Bloody Mary 3 times.
Absolutely not. I'm never looking in that mirror again.
No, but like that was such a striking line. Like I'm sure that's been used before in like horror stuff. But I never thought of it like that. And I was like, oh, ew, that's disgusting.
Yes, it is.
Lisa, she says that and then she pauses for a long moment and then just goes, help her. Before a large gasp as she throws herself back from the mirror. Like ooh. Something happened. She saw something. She sensed something and it just like messed her up. And she's out of breath. Her husband's holding her and she like chugs some water. And then she's just like, I'm okay. And the scene ends.
You can't just say I'm okay and move on.
I know. What's that? You're like, wait, what did you see? Why did you just freak out? And why did you say help her?
Yeah.
Like, what was that?
Which I'm assuming the helper is for Chloe. But we don't even know that for sure. I'm assuming. I don't know. Ugh.
In the next scene, Tyler and Rebecca are still skeptical and think the whole thing was just for show. They're pissed off. And Chris and Chloe clearly took the whole thing seriously. But Chris is worried that he made things worse by inviting Lisa here. He doesn't know what just happened and it scared him.
Yeah, yeah.
It'd scare me too.
Yeah.
So the spirit excuses itself from the room kind of just backs, not doesn't, it doesn't say excuse me, but it does slowly back away from the room, and it heads upstairs while that strong haunting like violin string music kicks in again. Mm-hmm. But it just, it heads straight for the closet and parks itself there and seen.
Okay, it's like it looks at the closet as a safe space, which is interesting now knowing that it's confused. I still feel bad for this presence. Like, yeah. I'm like, we need to help them. We need to free them. I don't know. I'm so scared. I hope they don't kill us because I really like them.
This next scene is, it's a quick like 10 seconds and mm-hmm. we're in the closet and Chloe and Ryan are having sex in Chloe's bed. And we're in the closet and like we look for a second and then we just kind of turn and look away and then like it cuts.
See, he's so polite.
I know. Not a creeper. Not a creeper. Just like, oh, I won't. You know what? You have fun. I'm just going to look over here.
Also just interesting because they were like so mad before when she was kissing him and now they're just like, okay, whatever. I'm just going to look mm-hmm. away.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
We come back when they're done. So this is... I don't know how many minutes. I'm not going to make assumptions, but like we come back some number of minutes later and they're putting their clothes back on and Ryan asks Chloe if she wants anything to drink and she says, sure, no booze though. OJ would be nice. Just some orange juice. So Ryan gives her a kiss on the forehead before. Nope. Ryan gives her a kiss before. I don't know why forehead came. Whatever.
We love Ryan, a forehead kiss.
I know. I guess my mind was just like forehead kiss. So sweet. No. Ryan gives her a kiss before heading downstairs to get them some juice. And Chloe decides to take a quick shower here, which is like, I don't know, it was weird. Like, she put all her clothes back on and then she goes and gets in the shower.
Oh.
I don't know. Like, it okay. was just kind of weird. Like, she's like, yeah, go get juice. I'm going to get in the shower. I don't know. She heads into the bathroom and we hear the shower start running. Ryan arrives back soon after because, you know, he literally just went downstairs to get some juice. And he sets Chloe's juice down on our bedside table and he's holding his own. He goes back over to his backpack and he pulls something out and heads back over to the side of the bed. And we decide to leave the closet at this point, just like wander over, see what's up.
Yeah.
And as we come around the side, we can see Ryan pouring some white powder into Chloe's juice.
Whoa. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Are we saying that he literally killed those other girls?
I don't know.
Or is he just trying to roofie her?
just trying to roofie her or whatever.
Also diabolical, disgusting. But yeah, just given like the history of like these girls overdosing, that mm-hmm. my mind goes there. Jesus Christ.
Yeah. So he stirs up this juice with his finger when we hear Chloe coming out of the shower. And she comes out of the bathroom and Ryan's just casually laying on her bed. And he goes, I could go again. And she's like, no. I'm good. Yeah. Thanks. Like, I'm all set. I once was plenty. And he's like, well, I got you some juice. And at this moment, the bedside table rattles super aggressively and the cup of juice falls off onto the floor.
Okay.
And spills on the ground.
This is the first time where I'm like, shoot, it might be Nadia. It might be Nadia. Because like then her being confused, maybe she's just confused about her death because she's like, literally, how did I die? I was just drinking some orange juice and now I'm here. And now maybe her purpose is to stop it from happening again.
Mm.
Interesting. I hope.
So they're again startled, but Ryan goes, I must have just put it too close to the edge, which is hilarious to me because like the whole table just rattled aggressively. Yeah. And he goes, whoops. I put it too close to the edge.
Yeah. I'm okay. Like,
okay, whatever. Whatever flows your boat.
Yeah.
Chloe cleans up the juice and scene. So next scene is actually only a few minutes later. Ryan's in the bathroom cleaning this glass. And he's like really inspecting it because it seems like he's trying to make sure like no traces of the drugs are still in the cup.
Yeah.
And he comes back out into Chloe's room and says, I need to see you again. And she's like, yeah, me too. But he goes, no, I mean for longer. Is that okay with you? Remember, this is all going to be you. You choose. You're in control.
Ugh. Which
that whole conversation from earlier comes back and you just like, it's horrible. Yep,
it's all a ploy.
She's like, well, a week from Friday, my parents have to go to some work thing from my mom. So you should stay over. And Ryan's like, well, what about Tyler? And Chloe's like, yeah, he'll be here too. Ryan goes, okay, I can deal with him. Boy's got Ambien written all over him. I had to Google what Ambien is. It's a sedative that is used for the short-term treatment of insomnia by helping you fall asleep.
Oh, I knew it was a sedative of some sort. I guess, yeah. I think it's a pretty abused drug, actually, yeah. So I've never heard of, like, its actual medical purpose. Mm. But
for insomnia.
Sense. Yeah.
And Chloe kind of laughs, and they start making out again. I'm just like,
oh,
okay.
All right.
Sure.
Like, she's, girl. No, she's wrapped up in him. It sucks. Mm-hmm.
Potentially later that night, it seems, Chris comes into Chloe's room to chat with her. In short, this is kind of like a long roundabout conversation, but in short, he basically tells her that he believes her wholeheartedly. Everything she's seeing and sensing, he believes there's something here and she can feel it unlike the rest of them. It's really sweet that he's very...
Yeah, that's everything. Just to have one person that believes you is... It makes such a difference.
Yeah. They share like a really like nice strong hug before the scene ends. So another day, we're in Chloe's room looking out the window onto the driveway again. Lisa's back and she's talking to Chris. Chris is apologizing, saying not everyone wants her here and he's sorry, but she responds saying, I don't need to come in. She says that she had a dream that has now made her believe that whatever is actually here because of something that hasn't happened yet. Something bad.
Exactly. Okay. No, I love where this is going.
Mm-hmm. She says, because of a window that doesn't open. And Chris dismisses her and she screams after him, a window. I saw a window. She seems like she's trying to help, but she's being ignored and she leaves. Scene.
What is that? A window that doesn't open.
Yeah, that like threw me.
It could be the mirror. Like a window into some other, because they've just been focusing on the mirror a lot. I don't know if that has anything to do or like has any paranormal significance in this universe or anything, but I don't know.
It's the middle of the night now and Chloe is in bed and we begin to approach her from the closet. Mm-hmm. As we get closer, there's like a thud and a shake of the camera. And the best way I can describe what happens here, it's like there's somebody trapped inside the camera and they're banging on the glass from the inside.
Oh,
trying to get out.
Okay.
So like that is like the sensation that you experience.
Yeah.
We get one thud and then another, but Chloe remains sleeping and we head back into the closet scene.
Oh, trying to warn her.
Mm-hmm. Our next scene seems to be the day that Chris and Rebecca are heading out for Rebecca's work trip. They're packing bags and talking about spending 2 days away. They slip in to talk about these legal issues again. We still don't know what's up, but Rebecca definitely got herself into some illegal shit. But Chris says, I thought about leaving, but I decided to stay and I'm with you through this. Dude is literally such an angel and it pains me. Like, yeah. Just leave, buddy.
Yeah, please.
Well, it's time for them to head out, and they say bye to Chloe. Tyler's in the shower, so they ask her to say bye to him for them. And before Chris leaves, he goes up to Chloe to tell her, hey, nobody is to come over. And Chloe gives the least convincing of all time.
Oh,
and Chris,
no.
Chris clocks it. He's like, yeah, okay, just make good choices. And he heads out.
Yeah.
Scene. It's night now and music is blaring in the house. It's just Tyler blasting music on his own in the living room while he drinks what looks like vodka. It's a clear liquor. I assume it's vodka. He's honestly having a time though because like he's vibing. He's like he's got his eyes closed and he's like kind of vibing to the music while he's drinking this vodka. And we get pretty close to him and he pauses like suddenly and looks up and we back away as he follows us a bit. It's like he sensed something. He saw something. Ooh. He even says, hello.
Okay. So it's like the veil is thinning. I don't know, in general or just for him. Interesting. Mm-hmm.
But then his phone buzzes and he's distracted because Ryan's here. So he gets up to let him in, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
Ryan comes inside and Tyler offers him a glass of liquor. And Ryan's like, ain't no way I'm drinking that straight up. Do you have any orange juice? And he offers to make Tyler a drink too. And Tyler's like, okay, cool. So Tyler stays in the living room and Ryan goes off to the kitchen to make the drinks. So in the kitchen, Ryan does exactly what you'd expect him to do. He makes two drinks, one with a little something extra. He stirs a powder in. And while he does, he yells to Tyler that that girl, Simone, the girl that they pranked, is on mental health leave now. He seems to think it's kind of funny. And so does Tyler.
Oh my God, the worst type of teenage guy. My worst nightmare.
Ryan brings the drink back to Tyler and Tyler downs it in one gulp and then they pour another shot each and take that scene.
Okay, wait. So the two drinks were for not the two of them?
For Tyler? Yes, for Tyler and Ryan.
Wait, so he gave one, he gave the drugged one to Tyler?
Tyler.
Oh my God. What the hell?
Remember he said he was going to take care of Tyler with the Ambien?
Oh my God. Okay. I'm just like, what is your end game here? Like, if he is killing these, like, what, why? And why do you think knocking out Tyler is going to help make you any less suspicious? Like, this has to get traced to him soon.
Mm-hmm. So later that night, Tyler is passed out on the couch. And, you know, Ryan calls his name a couple times for good measure. He's like, Tyler, Tyler, he's out. He's gone.
Mm-hmm.
So Ryan takes the liquor. He makes two more glasses of OJ. Again, one with white powder.
Mm-hmm.
And he brings it upstairs to Chloe. He walks into her room with a, hey, sexy. And Chloe seems off. So Ryan's like, oh, what, you know, like, what's wrong? And Chloe actually says that she doesn't think she wants to go on with this relationship.
Oh.
She gives Ryan the it's not you, it's me treatment, which is kind of funny. She says she's got stuff to work through and she wants to do it on her own.
Okay, perfect.
Ryan starts crying, I'm putting this in quotes,
ugh,
and says he must have done something wrong, that he's an asshole. He cries that he's so fucking alone, as he puts it.
Oh my God, ew.
Yeah.
I'm like, ugh.
Gross. Chloe tries to comfort him. He looks to Chloe and says, can we maybe just talk, as he hands her the drink.
Mm-hmm.
She agrees. She chugs it.
Oh no. Oh no. Okay.
He lays back on her bed and tells her she should just get comfortable. So she does. He then goes, nothing's going to happen. It's all your call. And a bunch of bullshit like that. Like, he just starts laying that on again, which is so frustrating, more than frustrating, infuriating. I don't know what the right word is for it, but it feels
infuriating. Absolutely.
She starts to feel it real quick. And like, she's starting to fade very, very quickly. He's stroking her hair and she actually is like, that feels nice. Ryan asks her if she likes it when he tells her that she's in control. And she says, sure. That's what she says. She says, sure. He goes on, I give that to you because it's mine to give. Everyone else has the power but us. So I took it and I gave it. Chloe's basically gone now. And Ryan moves over her and says, it's so fucking fragile, you know? So thin. Like, one second somebody's alive and the next they're not. He reaches into his back pocket and pulls out a black cylindrical? Is that the?
Yeah.
Yeah. Container. He opens it up and something slides out. It's a small portable roll of Saran wrap.
What in the world? Is that a thing? Why does he have, where did he get this?
I don't know where he got it. It's like a tiny little roll.
Okay. Yep.
He's kind of still talking at her unconscious body. And the thing is, he seems to suggest that like she can't say or like do anything, but he can hear her. He's like, you can hear me, right? Like, you can hear me. I know you can hear me.
Oh my God. That's awful.
And he's just talking at her, telling her how thin the material is. He's really obsessed with like how thin this Saran wrap is. He begins to hold it over her mouth and nose as he says, I'll show you what I showed the other two.
Of course. And it's the worst because he seems to be picking girls that people think already have an issue, and they're gonna find like, oh yeah, she's been using, and because they're gonna find
yeah,
the traces of that in her system and just chalk it up to her behavior lately. Oh my God. But okay, but it's not going to work and she's going to be fine because our bestie is going to do something, right?
So that knocking starts to come from within the camera again.
Okay.
You know, like, it's just kind of constant. Then Ryan says, you want to feel what Nadia felt? He puts the plastic over her face as he taunts her. He keeps like taking it off and putting it on. Like, giving her a chance to breathe and then putting it back on again.
Oh my God.
And he keeps doing this as the knocking continues. You know what they'll say? Stupid girl. Another fucking OD. She just stopped breathing.
Exactly.
He just keeps like saying this like crazy stuff. But at this time, this is when we leave the room. We head downstairs, leaving Chloe and Ryan in Chloe's room. And we head to the living room where Tyler is still completely passed out.
Yeah.
As soon as we enter the room, the lights start flickering and making like high-pitched sounds in the knocking again, over and over and over. And then we get right up to Tyler's ear and the high-pitched sound gets really loud and Tyler jolts up as the lights still flicker around
him. Amazing. Okay.
And he has this instant concern for Chloe. It's like more that he just woke up. Like he suddenly like jumps up and is like, Chloe. Like yeah. He knows something.
Like, yeah, like the presence like transferred that knowledge in some exactly. supernatural way.
So he runs upstairs calling for her and we follow frantically. This is the most like frantic the camera's ever been. It's usually pretty smooth, but like in this moment it gets kind of like choppy and stuff. Mm-hmm. And Tyler bursts into the room where he sees Ryan standing in the middle. He screams, "Get the fuck away from her," as he tackles him. The two of them smash into the second story window and go flying out onto the driveway.
Oh my below. God. Oh my God. The window.
The window.
Okay. Oh my God. Okay.
We approach the window to see both Ryan and Tyler splayed out in some not so great positions on the pavement.
I don't know. Because I don't want Tyler to die. Mm-hmm. Okay.
This like, you know, like cut to black actually lasts a little bit longer than the other ones. It seems like a little bit of time has passed. Mm. But we do open up on another scene and we're in the closet again. And it's closed until Chloe comes in and opens it. Her room is empty now. And she's grabbing something from the top shelf. Seems like she's looking for something. Seemingly the last thing that she left in her space. And okay. It's a scarf. And then she heads out of the room, but she turns and looks back one last time into the empty space. And she lingers before heading downstairs. We follow her. Rebecca stands alone in the empty dining room. And Chloe tells her, like, Mom, it's time to go. And she says, no, I just need one more minute. And Chloe says, okay, like, take as long as you need.
Oh, my God.
But we'll Tyler be outside.
He did die, didn't he? Oh, no.
So Chloe heads outside where we can actually see Chris through the window standing in the driveway waiting. And once Chloe's outside, we approach Rebecca and we get kind of close and she turns and she looks back. Not like she sees us, but like she sensed something and we back away as she kind of follows. And we lead her into the living room area to the mirror. And as she turns to look to the mirror, so do we. And we see our reflection, and so does Rebecca. She begins screaming hysterically as she reaches for the reflection of her son, Tyler.
Oh my God, I just got full body chills. No, yeah. That's my first time. Full, literally head-to-toe body chills.
Yeah.
Okay.
We remain completely still and we observe as she's yelling, it's him, it's my baby. And Chris and Chloe rush in to help as she collapses to the floor. My boy, he saved you, she cries as she looks at Chloe. He came back to save you. She continues to sob on the floor with Chris and Chloe as we back away. Straight out the front door, we back outside and we start to float up into the sky over the home. And the camera keeps floating up until all we see is sky. Oh. And the movie ends.
I'm literally gonna cry.
I cried. I cried, so let it out.
I'm literally crying. Wait. That's so crazy. That yeah. just like the story is making me cry. Like I'd be bawling if I was like seeing this in front of me.
Yeah.
So they're saying that like the presence was Tyler the whole time.
Yes, exactly. And like that's where I think Lisa's whole thing about like time doesn't exist.
Okay.
Time doesn't exist the same.
Yeah.
She only mentioned the past and the present, but what she didn't consider was the future. And so I do think you get into some murky waters here. I think anything that involves any kind of time travel can be really hard to write. I think it's really hard to write time travel. Yeah. So, like, you can pick it apart and be like, well, that doesn't make sense. But, yeah, that is the concept.
Wow. Okay, so I like the fact that the spiritual plane doesn't have time. So, like, everybody exists in it. All energy exists in it at all times. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I think that's just, like, a really interesting concept that you could do a lot with. But the fact that future spirit Tyler knew and was helping the physical plane in the past or present or whatever you want to call it from his point of view.
Right.
It's nothing. But oh my God, like trying to talk about this is so confusing because there's just like so many different things you could take from it of how it literally works. But I do wonder if he ever didn't have this knowledge, or if, like, in this universe, the whole universe has all the knowledge of the universe at all times. And there's, like, there is no beginning and end or cycle. It just is. And that's, like, so weird to try to wrap my head around.
Right. But, because you have to, like, imagine that this situation happened once in, like, an alternate reality where Chloe does die or something. And, like, you know what I mean? Because it's like he's dead. So the only way it ever could have happened, right, was for Tyler to die. But the time, if it exists different, like, it's super complex.
Yeah. I think, like, for the message of the movie, it you don't necessarily need to, like,
break, absolutely,
like, tear yourself apart trying to make it make sense, because absolutely, just obviously the emotion of it is there, and that is something that, like, you understand and what you're meant to take away from it, I think. Wow, I love that twist though, because I was like, okay, obviously it's either Nadia or it's a demon. Nope.
Yeah, right? I thought it was gonna be Nadia the whole time. Yeah. I was like very much Nadia, Nadia, Nadia.
Yeah.
I thought Ryan was gonna be good too until he poured the drugs in her drink.
Yeah. That's what I was gonna say. I wasn't expecting it to take the, like, the turn that the villain is actually human. I thought, well, I don't know what I thought, no matter what, that the villain was going to be the presence, yes, which is why it hits so hard at the end. Cause it's like, you were so suspicious and scared of this presence the whole time, but they're just trying to, like, genuinely trying to look out for you the whole time, which if you watch it back, it's like, yeah, obviously. Oh,
yeah. I was able to watch this twice, obviously, because I watched it once and then I watched it again to, like, script it. And it, watching it the second time is like, wow.
Yeah.
Like, seeing all the moments where you're like, where you know it's Tyler. And, like, when he tears Tyler's, his own room apart because he's mad at himself.
Yes.
Like, there's just, like, a lot of depth to.
Well, oh, wow. And I love, like, oh my God, there's just so much.
I know, there's literally so much. Yeah. And, like, I do want to say, I started writing the script for this and I almost stopped and chose a different movie because I recognize the survivability is not a super huge emphasis in this film.
Yeah.
But I was like, I feel like we'll still be able to have some really interesting conversations about this movie because I think it's really interesting. So what I did, let me see what I wrote here. Survivability, not the emphasis of the film, but what I was thinking was, we could look at survivability a little differently for this.
Okay.
Would you survive, maybe not in a literal sense, but, like, from a mental perspective? Could you stay, like, mentally strong enough through all this trauma within this family dynamic that is super fucked up? And it's like, is it something you could get past, whether you were Chloe, Rebecca, or Chris? Because I think, like, looking at it from Chloe's perspective, like, if she knows, like, her brother sacrificed himself to come back, like, I don't know that I could ever get past something like that as her, you know?
Oh, wow. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. And the – wow. Yeah, all perspectives, like, as Chloe, right, as the mom, as the dad. Because the dad was so hyper-focused and worried for his daughter, which makes sense because of everything that had been going on. But then that guilt of, like, oh, I was, like, putting all this energy into her and I wasn't there for him in the end. And then the mom, obviously, that's, like, her golden child, so she's going to have a hard time. And then the most complex and interesting is definitely Chloe.
Chloe. Because it, like, like, in a weird way, it's, like, I don't want to use the word should, but, like, it should have been her. But Tyler came back and sacrificed himself for her, which is, like, is crazy. I don't know. Because, like, I was thinking about it. I don't think there's any way we can talk about survivability in, like, a literal way in this.
No, it's definitely 100% for as Chloe. It's 100%.
As Chloe or as – and then in Tyler, it's, like, that just gets to, a really deep level of, like, are you going to come back and sacrifice yourself for your sibling? And it's, like, okay, well, it's probably also 100%. So, like
– yeah.
So I was, like, better to look at it from, like, a mental perspective.
Yeah, mentally, I'd be pretty fucked up. I think anybody would be. I mean, just grief on its own is fucked up enough and hard. And then, I don't know, is there a sense of comfort, though, that, like, they chose to sacrifice themselves and save you? Like, there's, like, it's a noble way to go out. And it's, like, you know, it was their choice. Some people don't have a choice. Some people don't want to die, and that's really hard to watch. But then, like, I guess there would be some comfort in, like, he wanted to do this, he did this for me, and now I'm going to, like, live my life to the fullest to honor that.
Wow. Yeah.
So I guess I would still be high up there. I wouldn't be doing great. My mental health wouldn't be doing great, but I would survive. Like, I would go on for him type of situation. Yeah.
I think bringing that into it changes my perspective on it. Like, wanting to live for the hope of it all. No, to live for, like, him.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't think there's anything wrong with calling this a 100%er, because this is a survivor tale. Like, it's a it's all about, like, sacrifice and survival. And in Chloe's position, it is 100% survival thanks to the sacrifice. So I would be down to call this a 100.
Wow. Okay. Hell yeah. I mean, I almost was like, I'm not going to use this film. But then I was like, but it's so good. It's such an interesting story. And
so good.
I'm going to change what I wrote because of what you just said just now. Because, like, that actually, I find that interesting. God, though, like, I know the kind of little depressive holes I can get into. So, like, I can't give this 100% because I just, like, I know my mental strength is not that high. But I'll give it a 94. Like, okay. I think chances are I'm good.
So, yeah, you saying, like, yeah, I probably would go for it now with my perspective that I've given you. But there's just that leeway of, like, am I strong enough to keep going after something that traumatic happens to me?
Right.
Yeah. That's understandable.
Yeah. I think also, like, when you were talking about, like, living for Tyler, I think the other thing that kind of sparked in my brain was there's also – like, that almost gives me more hope, though, because, like, you know that he was there and, like, that he is out there.
Yeah.
And that you're kind of confirming some sort of afterlife in a sense. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's something that's really comforting. Mm-hmm. Like, maybe I'll see him when I die. So I don't know. That's also interesting. Again, for anybody who's mad at me for choosing this film, just know I didn't know how it was going to go, and I almost ditched it. I would love to hear from people if, like, they didn't like this because it was a little far away from, like, survivability. Please, like, go on the Discord.
Sure,
yeah. It is linked in our Instagram if you're looking for it, because I know some people were having a hard time finding it. In our link tree on Instagram, you can find it. I'm okay with doing some things that are less survivability-focused, but I understand that's also kind of the point of the podcast. So you let me know how you felt about this episode. I don't know, I enjoyed it, but if you didn't, just yell at me, just get really mad and just roar, get me, you know.
Amazing. That was I loved that you stuck with this, because I cannot believe I cried through a story being told to me. Like, it's so, I'm somebody who, I don't really cry very easily with books, because I'm more affected by, like, the soundtrack, like, the score that's happening, and like, everything melding together in this way that's, like, telling you to cry. Like, this, I don't know, there's something about movies and TV that can get me to cry so easy, and music. But books, I'm like, when it's just my imagination, I'm just like, okay, wow.
Cool. Yeah,
crazy.
I get entirely where you're coming from with that. And I gotta say, the acting too, like, throughout the whole thing with Ryan and Chloe, both of them are really, really good actors. Like, super props to them. So that whole scene where he's, like, saying all this creepy stuff over her body, like, also made me, like, very emotional, because it's, like, it's hard. It's really hard to watch, because you're just seeing, like, this absolute evil.
Yeah.
And just, oh God, it's just really.
I also love that it played with, like, the morally gray situation of Tyler, like, making these really awful decisions and, like, doing these really disgusting things. But even when, like, before I even found out that he was the presence and became grateful for him for that, just him, like, going after Ryan and, like, jumping at him and them falling through the window, like, I didn't want Tyler to die. And I love that when a movie, like, creates a character where you're like, I think I called him, like, you are my worst nightmare, like, doing this to a girl, and then, like, being devastated, like, it's like, well, okay, but I didn't want you to die. And then you just add on the whole level of what the whole point of the movie is and the reveal, and just fucks you up.
That's the presence, everybody. I'm curious to see what you guys submit for scores, just kind of based on the way that we chose to look at it. If you want to submit your survivability score, that is also on the Discord. You got 1 week from the day that we post this to submit that, and then we post that as in the Discord as well, like our community survivability score. So feel free to check out the Discord and let us know, would you survive
Hello, beautiful. I'm Amy Arrett, founder of Madison Reed, a hair color company I named after my daughter. I started Madison Reed because I believed women deserve better. Better ingredients, better results, and the freedom to color on your terms. Color at home with our permanent hair color kit in less time and for less than a typical salon. It's a salon in a box for rich, dimensional color and 100% gray coverage. Try our 10-minute root touch-up kit for a permanent root refresh or our hair and brow mascara to cover stray grays on the go. Or visit one of our 95 hair color bars nationwide to let our licensed pros color your hair for you. Join the more than 5 million women who have switched to our award-winning color. Visit madison-reed.com and use code PODCAST20 for 20% off your first order or service. Confident, bold, unstoppable. That's the power of Madison Reed.
Your vehicle doesn't just get you from here to there. It's a bridge to the people and places that matter most. It's how you show up for your family, your community, and everyone else that depends on you. That's why for 125 years, Firestone has been building tires with one thing in mind: to deliver products that are as reliable as you are. Firestone, always dependable since 1900.
Good news! Goodwill Columbus has opened a new store in Westerville. And with a new donation center, it's easier than ever to make a difference in your community. Bring your gently used clothing, furniture, electronics, and more to our donation drop-off. Each donation and purchase supports our mission to provide jobs, free job training, essential services, and more right here in Westerville. Drop your donations off at 60 East Schrock Road or learn more at goodwillcolumbus.org.